The following program is underwritten by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. Welcome to Humanities Connection, a production of WFDU-FM and the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. I'm Bob Mann. On this episode, we're going to be talking about a play which you have an opportunity to see. It's received great critical praise. It's called American Son. For those of you listening to our initial broadcast in January 2017, you have the opportunity to see this at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick, New Jersey, anytime between February 7th and 26th, with the exception of Mondays when the stage will be dark. And for those of you who are hearing this after the play is done, please keep listening because of the fact that this play, American Son, has a lot to say about race relations in our nation and provokes a great deal of discussion and opportunities for education. And that's why my guest is Jim Jack, who is Director of Education for the George Street Playhouse, because of the fact that the New Jersey Council for the Humanities is actually funding the educational portion of this. And Jim, thank you very much for taking the time to come over the bridge.
Thank you so much, Bob. I'm thrilled to be here.
Let's talk a little bit without spoilers, because in our pre-interview prep, I realized just how important it is for the audience to have some sense of shock, surprise, spontaneity. As much as you can, tell us about the premise.
So the play investigates a mother who's brought down to a police department at 4 a.m. in the morning looking for her son. She has been told his car was involved in an incident, and she is looking for her son. Her husband joins her. They are separated at the time. And the conversation that happens in the police department and the conflict that that rises up as a result of it is really about where is their child, how can they get access to him, and when the police are not giving enough information about where he is and is he okay. And so it really looks at the questions around implicit bias and how we presume we know something when we maybe don't know exactly what we think we know, and how race functions in the lives and the vulnerabilities of raising a child of color in this country.
Some of the assumptions obviously are undone or at least shaken as a result of this. I know that you can't explain exactly how, but it's done apparently in a way which is very effective in terms of maybe the audience even has these assumptions and is waiting for a certain type of actor to come out on stage and they get something very different.
I think that's absolutely right. The playwright, Christopher Demos Brown, is an exceptionally skilled writer. He is a former prosecuting attorney and current trial lawyer in Miami. And he is very interested in and has great familiarity with some of the issues that are central to this play. He spent most of his career working with police officers and has great respect and regard for them. And also working with communities of color and some of the kind of, both these communities feel they're under siege right now. Both feel very vulnerable to how they're being treated and how they're being perceived by the public. And so I think Chris really is very sensitive in terms of how he balances these arguments and really gives each side its opportunity to share their beliefs and concerns.
Let's just again mention that this play is going to be February 7th through the 26th in New Brunswick at the George Street Playhouse. Explain a little bit what the Playhouse is.
So George Street is celebrating our 42nd season. We focus on new work. Our artistic director, David Saint, who is directing this production, believes that George Street is a home for playwrights and really sharing the great stories on the American stage about what is current and what is in the imaginations of our audience and part of the national conversation. I think this play, in particular, really looks at that question. Every night you seem to see a different story that is related to some of the challenges of this racial divide that is facing our country. And how do we come together? Where is there common ground? And so I think this is a story that really looks at that question, and we feel very privileged to be able to tell it.
So if anyone is interested in actually purchasing tickets, seeing the play, what would they do? What is the website or what is the best way that they could get information?
So go to gsponline.org and you can go on our website and purchase tickets directly there. That's also a great place for you to find out more information about the play. We have a phenomenal cast that is led by Suzanne Douglas, who is formerly been at the Playhouse with productions of Wit and several others, and she is a really gifted, deep, beautiful actor. And John Bolger, who is a great, wonderful actor, who was most recently in Outside Mullingar at the Playhouse, as well as several other productions, 12 Angry Men. And both those actors have such compassion and heart and depth of feeling that they're going to do an astonishing job in this production.
And even though this radio station is licensed to Teaneck, New Jersey, and this is a program underwritten by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities, we do broadcast into the five boroughs of New York City. You, as a matter of fact, are a New York City resident. So if anybody's listening in Brooklyn or Manhattan, is this a huge trek if they want to go to the George Street Playhouse?
No. New Brunswick is, you know, in central New Jersey, and it's a quick train ride out on Amtrak, and also you can jump down the turnpike and get off at Exit 9 and be there in less than an hour. It's 45 minutes from the city. And it's, you know, living in New York myself, I always say it takes me an hour to get anywhere, so it takes me an hour to get to New Brunswick as well. And I think this is an astonishing play, really beautiful in terms of how complex it is and how it really grabs a hold of you and does not let go. Chris is an exceptionally gifted writer who's had a lot of acclaim recently. This play won the Lawrence Hatcher Award and had its first production up at the Barrington Stage last year, this summer. And so we are very excited to have the second production of the show.
Wow, only the second production. That's amazing. Let's talk a little bit about, though, the educational aspect, and especially that was the tie-in with the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. So first of all, your title is Director of Education. In the context of working at a playhouse, what does that actually mean?
So we have a variety. We have a very broad education program. We offer, we have a 30-year educational tour that travels throughout the state of New Jersey, hits every single county most years, and brings issue-based plays, looking at challenges around type 2 diabetes, cyberbullying, questions around tolerance and immigration. And so these are plays we bring to schools throughout the state. That's one big piece of what we do. We also bring classroom residencies where we have artists that come into the classroom and work with the classroom teacher and the students to create an original piece of theater based upon their social studies curriculum, their language arts curriculum. And we do that from K through seniors in high school, and that's a very dynamic program that has grown enormously in the last few years. We also have an academy where we train actors from ages 5 through adult year-round. And then the other thing we do, which this is really where American Sun comes into place, is we do a lot of community outreach and initiatives, especially around audience engagement for our main stage programming. So we thought this was a great play to do some additional audience initiatives. And the Council for Humanities supported we wrote a grant to them, and they supported a lot of what we're trying to do.
There really couldn't be an issue that is more important to our everyday lives than race relations in the United States, because President Obama, in his farewell address, said, after I, meaning President Obama, was elected, everyone felt we were in, or many people felt we were in, a post-racial America. And obviously that turned out not to be true. It has been almost a little bit shocking, hasn't it? I'm, you know, being a baby boomer, having seen as a child on television the 60s, having seen in college in the 70s what had happened in terms of the progression of race relations after the election of the first African-American president, when Ferguson and Black Lives Matters and everything else came along, it really, frankly, shocked me along with many other people. And I think it's probably something that needs to be addressed. We really are not in a post-racial America.
Absolutely not. And I think that is part of what we put at the center of our conversation around this play. We have one of the pieces of what we are offering is a conversation with scholar and lawyer David Dante Trout, which will be after this is broadcast, but it's going to be on the 19th of this month. And he's really looking at the question of, are we in a post-racial America? What did Obama present to us as because of his exceptionalism as a man and as a political leader? And what has happened in terms of video? I think, you know, the cell phone has transformed our perception of what is actually happening. I don't think, I think these issues have happened throughout history. And, you know, you go back to 1619, and, you know, the first challenges with police regarding issues around the slave trade and through Reconstruction in this country and where we are now, and how implicit bias shapes perception. And there are some police departments that are doing astonishing jobs at really thinking deeply about how they are for the community. We were yesterday in rehearsal, we had three members of the New Brunswick Police Department with us, and it was a transformative moment. They are such gifted, thoughtful, kind, and incredibly well-educated officers, and they guide themselves around the idea of equal justice for all. And irrespective of whether they've gone to a house for the same issue 22 or 23 times, they try to treat it as this is the first time, because you never know what's going to happen. And that's something that we are very excited to look at. And I think that's something that the playwright feels very passionate about. He has deep regard and value for police officers and the work they do and the pride they bring to their job, because this is, you know, you're risking your life for a job that pays, you know, not what one would think is worth risking one's life for. So it's about community service. And so I think that that's something that we are looking at as a country. And yet there are places where there is incredible bias and disregard of community and, you know, no question about the numbers of incarcerated African-American males in this country and why that has happened and how that has been strategic and structural in its intention. And so that's something that I think we have to have a big conversation about in this country.
That's why I think that American Son, as you've expressed here, the main theme is racial assumptions and knocking them down, or at least shaking your foundations about your assumptions, is so important, because, you know, just as we need to know that just because a young African-American man is walking with a hoodie, he is not necessarily anything but an upstanding citizen, but also that every white police officer who rolls up is not someone who is a racist. I mean,
absolutely,
that's what we have to know in all these cases.
Well, I think that, you know, the challenge of technology is that now we can capture things that assume to be one thing and they may be something else. So there's a lot of video that has documented incredible tragedies and quite frankly, misguided choices. And so how do we look at this question? How do we understand all of us, and what does equality look like? I mean, I think that's the big question for us, and equality is not equal for all. And how is that our intention as this country? And I think that's a question that, you know, Obama wrestled with, and I think the Trump administration is going to have some challenges facing as well, because you know, who do we want to be? And I think that's a big question for us.
You're listening to Humanities Connection, a production of WFDU-FM and the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. I'm Bob Mann. We're with you at 89.1 FM on the final Sunday of every month. But remember that the program is not only held for 2 weeks as an archive at WFDU.FM, but even more importantly, it goes pretty much permanently onto the web at njch.org. And as a matter of fact, to find out more information about what the Council for the Humanities is doing in so many different areas, as well as to hear archived broadcasts of this program, please go to www.njch.org. And we're talking today about the play American Son, which is going to be from February 7th through the 26th, 2017, at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And my guest is Jim Jack, who is the Director of Education for the Playhouse. Let's get into some specifics. And again, we got to be careful here, because we don't want to give any spoilers about the play, because you are trying with the play to knock assumptions on their back. But what are some of the exhibits and some of the programs that you'll be having moving forward that will jump on the themes in American Son?
So one of the things we're very excited about is we have an audience engagement guide that has an article by a scholar that really looks at this issue between police departments and communities of color, and both feeling themselves under siege. And what does that look like? What are the assumptions we make in how we navigate those questions and our relationship to them? We also have a context room. So we're really excited for audiences to come to the Playhouse a little bit earlier than the start of the play, because our cabaret space is going to be transformed into an exhibit that really looks at different iterations of American Sons. The grant we wrote to the Council for Humanities is called American Sons and Daughters, and really thinking about how do we think about equality for all? And what are our assumptions because of the way someone looks? How does identity shape our perceptions? How do the clothes shape our understanding about the success or lack of success or equality or lack of opportunity that's going to happen for these children? So I think that's something we're very interested in looking at, and it'll be a really interesting place for the audience to think about. And being, we think of George Street as a place for free thought, a center for ideas and a sharing of cultural understandings, and where artistry can really help shape ourselves as human beings. And so we are really thrilled to be able to present this play, and also some of the programming around it, so the conversations can be rich and perhaps shift some perceptions in some places.
In your job as director of education, obviously you've worked traditionally in the classroom. You're an adjunct at Brooklyn College. What is the difference between lecturing in higher education and working with some of these cases in which you're trying to actually take a play and work on the themes, talk about the aspects of them that could be historical, ideological, psychological? What are the differences between traditional education and some of the things that you're doing as director of education at the Playhouse?
I think we believe in embodiment, and so that a lot of the work that we do is asking people to embody the experiences. So of these ideas, theater is ensemble and collaborative by its nature. It is based around society, and it's a form of citizenship. It was, in its foundation, the Greeks believed it was your essential role to participate in the body of knowledge and the questions that were central to a community. And I think that that's something we try to do at George Street. We have a variety of different audience engagement initiatives and educational pieces where we're asking students to read something, think about it deeply, and then become the characters, the settings, the circumstances they're facing. So they have a deeper understanding, perception, access to language. We work with a lot of children who are English language learners. And by embodying those things, they gain different point of view and perception and understanding about the background knowledge that are associated with these themes that we're looking at in the classroom, as well as our touring company. We are presenting issue-based pieces, things that are facing the children face every single day of their lives. So trying to connect them with story and character and understanding to things they care about that hit their heart and hit their mind. And that's something that David Sain, our artistic director, talks a lot about, is he wants to touch both your mind and your heart. And when those two things are synced up, transformation is possible.
In my other life as a communication professor, I'm teaching mainly in the areas of television and film, but legitimate theater obviously carries over to this exact same concept. I so often feel that a drama about a social issue or a political issue or something that is based in history has so much more power and the ability to make somebody understand than a documentary. I love documentaries, think they're great, but there's something pretty prosaic in a documentary. Give me an idea, give me a handle on this. What is it about a drama that can make a political or social issue so much more real and actually, in a way, easy to understand?
I think it's because it personalizes history. It from a human point of view, we are all members of a family. We all understand the kind of impulses that the people we love and the people we have strong feelings about, what guides their choices sometimes, and sometimes that's mysterious and sometimes that is clear. I think because it is connected to how we feel, my 11-year-old son, I showed him the Denzel Washington Fences the other day, and he's somebody who loved Rogue One and, all these Star Wars movies. And after we watched it, he said, "Daddy, that's my favorite film ever." And I was asking about it this morning. I go, "Why? What was so?" He said, "Because it was so complex. It looked at adultery. It looked at issues with someone who had special needs. It looked at a mother who was struggling to try to raise her son, and a father had a different idea for him. And it was so complex. And I loved listening to the words about that story." And I think that's what drama does. I think drama gives us characters we can hook into and care for and root for and fight for, and we see ourselves as part of that history. And that's why I think dramas are so effective.
And when you see the son just say to the father, "Why don't you like me?" That's a lot different than a clinical examination of the relationships between fathers and sons. I mean, he says from his gut, "Why don't you like me?" And the father tells him, "I don't have an obligation to like you. I just
That's right.
have an obligation to take care of you." And of course, I love Rogue One, but I love Fences. And what's interesting from the perspective of an 11-year-old is that there's no action in fences. It's all words. It's
right.
all words, and it's all just people and facial reactions, and pretty much contained to that backyard. And it can be as powerful as a massive action scene.
Well, I think, you know, our great documentarian of the 20th century is August Wilson. He looked at some of the major challenges and questions that were central to the African-American experience and did that by decade, by decade, by decade. And Fences really captured some of those impulses of what happened, you know, following the Great Migration, what happened to these communities in Pittsburgh, and the aspirations denied and the aspirations, you know, this was a period where they were poised, you know, there was change happening, and change and conflict are central to drama. And I think that that is one of the reasons why it's so powerful. And that question, why don't you like me, mm-hmm. is the question we're all asking ourselves about everybody we meet, right? Do you like me or do you not like me? At the basic level, that is the foundation for all relationships.
But especially when it's apparent. That's
absolutely.
When
it, that's where love is associated.
Really digs deep, and that's
yep.
the ultimate approval you
yep.
need. Even if you know that the parent is flawed, you just need that approval. Let's get back. We're talking on Humanities Connection right here with Jim Jack about what is going to be at the George Street Playhouse and partially funded by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities, American mm-hmm. Sun. Let's talk about the fact that as educational director, you had the opportunity to interview the playwright. Tell us a little bit more. You mentioned earlier that he is an attorney by profession, but some of the things that came out in that interview that you got a chance when you were playing the role I'm playing.
So what's fascinating about Chris Demos Brown is that he is, as I mentioned, a former prosecutor and now a civil trial lawyer. And so he's constantly looking at conflict and he's looking at story. He also is constantly asking for transcription and he's interviewing people in depositions and taking hearing their speech and seeing it conveyed on paper and how that's influenced his work as a playwright. His dialogue is astonishing. It's so simple, yet it's got deep complexity and so layered. So I think that he understands that innately. Also, there's something about his nature as a father and how much he cares about his children and the perceptions of the theater community that he works with and some of his friends says, you know, family is always central to your work. And he wasn't aware of that until someone else called him out. But he says, that's my primary role in life. And what I care most about is being a father and being a husband. I think the other thing that shapes him is he is a Southern playwright. You know, he has spent since fourth grade. He's lived in the Miami area, and he went to college up in Dartmouth. And he talks about, you know, when I was driving up to college, I would go, you know, the South Dixie Highway and memorials to Stonewall Jackson. And that the South really, you know, carries the vestiges of its history. And so he brought a friend down from college to spend some time with him on break. And he said, wow, you know, Winn-Dixie, South Dixie Highway, you folks really have your racism right out in front for everybody to see, you know. And he was like, wow, I didn't even see that because he just didn't even, you know, think of it that way. And so, you know, whether that is tradition, whether that's history, how you view that depends on where you sit, you know. And I think that Chris tries to put all those things into this play that is really looking at what we're fighting for in terms of the aspirations for our children. These parents care very, very much, and both are trying to weave their belief in his capacity into his life. His father, Scott, is an FBI agent, and his family has a tradition of service and that has gone back for generation after generation. That's what he hopes for his son.
Well, getting back into this play specifically, here's someone who can really understand the experience of a young African-American male and also someone who's dedicated their life to law enforcement.
Absolutely.
And that's what it really takes, I think, if you're going to knock down the assumptions, because I've often wondered about so many African-American law enforcement officers, not just cops, but FBI agents, and how they feel and how they're caught up in all of this and what they can bring to in terms of needed perspective.
You know, yesterday we had Lieutenant Raymond Trigg visit with us in the rehearsal hall, and he's an African-American officer who works in New Brunswick for the past 23 years, and he has two boys. And he talked about what he's going to try to teach them, you know, and primarily is that, you know, when you're pulled over by a police officer, your responsibility is to listen. It is just to listen and to do precisely as they ask, because a lot of people believe that if they just did what was asked, a lot of these issues and tragedies would not have escalated to the point where someone is killed or there's a tragedy that happens or someone severely injured. But he also made clear, he says, it's not the same for a child who is white as it is a child who is black. It's just not the same. And he wants to make sure his children understand that. And that's something that, hearing that directly from him was transformative for all of us in the room, because we're seeing this is his reality. You know, he's someone who is incredibly compassionate and an effective police officer, grew up in Patterson, and has made his career really trying to serve, and yet still has these boys that he has to be worried about.
We only have 5 minutes left, so I want to get into some pragmatic things here. First of all, if you're hearing our initial broadcast on WFDU 89.1 FM in January, this play is going to be at the George Street Playhouse February 7th through the 26th. How would people have the opportunity to get to actually see the play?
So the easiest thing to do is to contact our box office. You can call 732-846-2895 and reach our box office. Or the other way I really recommend is just put GSP online into your server, and that'll or link Google through to George Street Playhouse, and you'll have an opportunity to look at some ticket availability. We are up at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays through Fridays, with matinees on Thursdays and also matinees on Saturdays and Sundays. And so we perform 8 times a week. It is an astonishing play. I think that you will be mesmerized by the quality of the acting and direction, as well as the nature of this story. It is very personal and contemporary, and something that will give you a lot to think about.
In terms of the educational components, any dates, times, ways to gain access to some of the related educational programs?
So our audience engagement guide will be both available to you at the theater, and we'll be sending that out to people once they buy some tickets, and we'll make it available online for them to preview if they're interested in thinking about coming to the play and want to see that before they consider making a purchase. That will be available to them. The context room will be open really from the 2nd of February forward, and will be an opportunity for people to come in and engage in this. And we're hoping, we have a big chalkboard on one section of it, another place to pin notes, so that it's not meant to be a passive experience for the audience. It's for them to share some of their ideas about what are their aspirations for their American sons and daughters, and what does equality look like going forward, and what kind of assumptions do we all make invariably about people based upon their identity.
Is American Son, this is only the second performance that you're doing at George Street.
The second production, yes.
Second
yes.
production, right.
Mm-hmm.
Is it something where you see a long life for this, possibly even the screen?
My understanding is that there is a Broadway production in the works. I can't speak any more about that because the timeline is still being worked out. But I know that Chris has a contract for that and is incredibly excited. And I'm very I believe this play. When we're talking about why he titled it this the play American Son, he had some other ideas about initially called it Liberty City. And he said, I really wanted to signal to our audience that this is about something that's important that affects all of us.
Right.
And it's a national conversation.
We were talking about fences before. Obviously, Moonlight is here in award season, a movie that's getting a great deal of attention as it deserves. That was set in Liberty City. But I think it is a good idea on the part of the playwright to really have a title that expands to the rest of America, because we could easily just say, well, we don't live there. It's, isolated to this part of the country or this particular neighborhood in this place. So I think you made a good move.
I think that's absolutely true. And that was also central to the design vision of our artistic director, David Sain, who's directing the play, in thinking about where to set the play. It could have been very specific to the locale of Miami and have a lot of detail in terms of the environment for the actress to work on. He has set it in a different type of the environment is a little more generalized and a little more where it could be any part of the country, and really evocative of kind of a waiting room in hell. And I think that's something that this mother and this father, in terms of getting information about their son, they're forced to be inside.
This is absolutely fascinating, and obviously this is something which needs to be discussed well beyond just the context of this play. But Jim, I thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks so much, Bob. It's been my pleasure.
And this is American Sun, the George Street Playhouse, the New Jersey Council for the Humanities, involved with funding some of the educational aspects of this. And of course, obviously, this is a play which deals with so many things which are relevant to what is happening today in the United States and really needs to be understood from a great deal of perspectives. Again, for those of you listening to our initial broadcast, it will be at the George Street Playhouse from February 7th until the 26th. And you obviously have the opportunity to take advantage also of some of the great educational aspects of this. That's it for this episode of Humanities Connection. I'm Bob Mann, and I thank you for joining us on the radio. We are on the final Sunday of every month on a Sunday morning, but then the program is also an archive at WFDU.FM, just as all of these programs are, for 2 weeks under the HD1 tab. But more importantly, you can go to njch.org to get a lot of archived materials of the programs that we have been doing for a number of years here on this particular program. Most importantly, though, you should be going to njch.org for information about all of these incredible things that are connected with the New Jersey Council for the Humanities.